Narayana namaskritya Narayana bhadarotamam Devam sarasatim vyasam Tato jaya mudiraye Nasta prayeswa bhadresu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama sloki Bhakti bhavati nashtiki Vede ramayane chaiva purane bharate tata Adho antra chamhadi chahari sabatya kiyate Mokam karoti vachalam pangu langarichi grihim Yakipataham vande shri guru dinatarine paramananda madhava Dhamma prajitu katavutra paramoni masram satam Vedan vastabam atravastu shibadam tapatrayo molanam Shima bhagavate mahamuni kritenki vaipara ishvara Sadhyo rudi abharudita chakriptibita kishanam Nigama kapatalu galitam phalam Sukamukam travasamitam Pibatam bhagavatam rasamalayam Muhurau rasikabhuvi bhavuka Atoyam brahmasutranam baratata vininaya Gayati basharu posho vedata paribrimita Savaviditya sanam saram saram paribrimitam Savavidantam sarani sri bhagavatam rishyate Tarasamitasya tiptasya nanyatyasya rati kuchividi Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya So we are continuing the reading, the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 3, text 20. This is the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna. The appearance could have been the appropriate title for this chapter, but they put the birth of Lord Krishna. But Krishna has no birth. He only makes appearance. He appears. God, Krishna says, Jama Kama Jame Divyam. If one can understand my appearance and disappearance from this world, then one can be free from the ocean of birth and death. So there's no such a thing as birth. Appearance, out of his own sweet will, for the glorification of his devotees. So here, the Lord has appeared within the prison house of Kamsa to Vasudev and Devaki. So we read the text, translations, and then the purports. Then we try to say something on the purports, the commentary of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. Sa Tvam Triloka Sthitaye Swamayaya Vibharsi Sukham or Suklam Khalu Bhanam Atmanaha Sargaya Raktam Rajaso Pabrimcham Krishnam Cha Vanam Tamasa Janatyaye Satanti loka sitaye samaya ya. Beba si suklam kalo vanam atmanaha. Sagaya rakta rajaso pabrinta. Krishnam chabanam tamasa janat yaye. Satvam, your lordship, who are the same person, the transcendence, Triloka Sitaye, to maintain the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Samayaya, by your personal energy, Atmamayaya, Bibasi, Azum, Suklam, the white form of Vishnu, in goodness, Kalu, as well as Banam, color, Atmanaha, of the same category as you, Vishnu Tattva, Sargaya, for the creation of the entire world, Ratam, the reddish color of Rajagun, Rajasa, with the quality of passion, Upabrimhitam, being charged, Krishnam cha, and the quality of darkness, Banam, the color, Tamasa, which is surrounded by ignorance, Janat Achaye, for the ultimate destruction of the entire creation. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, your form is transcendental to the three material modes. Yet, for the maintenance of the three worlds, you assume the white color of Vishnu in goodness, for creation, which is surrounded by the quality of passion, you appear reddish, and at the end, when there is a need for annihilation, which is surrounded by ignorance, you appear blackish. Purport. Vasudev, praised to the Lord, you are called Suklam. Suklam, or whiteness, is the symbolic representation of the absolute truth, because it is unaffected by the material qualities. Lord Brahma is called Rakta, or red, because Brahma represents the qualities of passion for creation. Darkness is entrusted to Lord Shiva because he annihilates the cosmos. The creation, annihilation, and maintenance of this cosmic manifestation are conducted by your potencies. Yet, you are always unaffected by those qualities. As confirmed in the Vedas, Harihi Niguna Sakshat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always free from all material qualities. It is also said that the qualities of passion and ignorance are non-existent in the person of the Supreme Lord. In this verse, the three colors mentioned, Shukla, Rakta, and Krishna, are not to be understood literally in terms of what we experience with our senses, but rather as representatives of Satugun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. After all, sometimes we see that a duck is white, although it is in Tamagun, the mode of ignorance. Illustrating the logic called Bakanda Nyaya, the dog is such a fool that it runs after the testicles of a bull, thinking them to be a hanging fish that can be taken when it drops. Thus, the dog is always in darkness. Vyasadeva, however, the compiler of the Vedic literature, is blackish. But this does not mean that he is in Tamagun. Rather, he is in the highest position of Satugun, beyond the material modes of nature. Sometimes these colors, Shukla, Rakta, Stata, Pitaha, are used to designate the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. Lord Girudasha Vishnu is celebrated as possessing a blackish color. Lord Shiva is whitish, and Lord Brahma is reddish. But according to Srila Sanatana Goswami in the Vaishnav Toshani Tika, this exhibition of colors is not what is referred to here. The real understanding of Shukla, Rakta, and Krishna is as follows. The Lord is always transcendental. But for the sake of creation, he assumes the color Rakta as Lord Brahma. Again, sometimes the Lord becomes angry. As he says in Bhagavad Gita 69, Tamaham Dishata Kuram Samsarishu Naradaman Kipaya Kipami Ajasana Shubam Asuri Shivan Yonisu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. To destroy the demons, the Lord becomes angry, and therefore he assumes the form of Lord Shiva. In summary, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always beyond the material qualities, and we should not be misled into thinking otherwise, simply because of sense perception. One must understand the position of the Lord through the authorities or Mahajans, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, Ete Chansa Kalapunsam Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Agana Timindasya Gananganan Salakaya Taksushimita Yena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Gurave Gurachandaya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Vancha Kapatarubhyascha Kripa Sinuvivacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Namamo Vishnapadaya Krishna Pishtaya Patale Srimati Bhaktivinoda Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sanyavadi Pashtadastarine. So I thank everyone for being here this morning, and especially the senior Vaishnavas. So by their mercy, I can say something. So I'll just read the text again.
Satan Tiloka Sitaye Samayaya Bibasi Suklam Kalu Banam Atmanaham Sagaya Raktam Rajaso Pabrimitan Krishna Krishna Chabanam Tamasa Janatyaye.
My Lord, your form is transcendental to the three material modes. Yet, for the maintenance of the three worlds, you assume the white color of Vishnu in goodness for creation, which is surrounded by the quality of passion. You appear reddish, and at the end, when there is a need for annihilation, which is surrounded by ignorance, you appear blackish. So here, Vasudev is praying to Lord Krishna. Actually, the Lord, when he appear within the prison house of Kamsa, where Vasudev and Devaki are kept, he did not appear as Krishna, because Krishna, as we know, is two-hand form. It's not four-handed, but he appeared in his Vishnu form, actually big. He didn't appear as a baby. So that's why the difference is not that he took birth from the womb of Devaki, came out, you know, as a baby crying. You know, no. The Lord came, he manifested himself within the room as Vishnu, four-hand form, with all his full dress, his yellow garments as usual, costume gem on the chest, everything, full Vishnu form, along with his the four items, the club, pandash, chakra, the conch shell, so all this thing in its full manifestation. So therefore, when Vasudev, when he saw, so when Vasudev saw this form, ultimately, you know, he's offering prayer, you know, he's offering prayer, you know, to the Lord. Because Vasudev, even though he and his wife, Devaki, they perform austerity for thousands of years to have the Lord as their child, for, you know, thousands of years, and then they appear in three manifestations. They appeared in three different forms, whereby they have the Lord as their child. And of course, when the Vasudev and Devaki, when they were performing the austerity, so the Lord appeared to them and asked them, "What do you want? What is your benediction?" So they asked the Lord to be our child, be our son. This was their request, their prayer. So the Lord said, "Okay, yes, I will come as your son." But that's what they got. They were able to have the Lord, you know, as a child three times. So this, I think the first one was as Upendra. Upendra was the Vamandev. And then the second one, Prishnagarbha, okay. Then Upendra, and then as Krishna. Okay, so now, you know, because the Lord is always saying in the order and reference, because those who worship the opulence form of the Lord, it's always in the Lord appear to them in his full manifestations, and then they make prayers. So we can see the difference between the Lord in, when he came in Mathura, when he appeared to Vasudev, whereas in Vrindavan is different. In Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, they never pray to Krishna. They never pray to him. They always chastise Krishna.
That's two different things. So that's why there is always difference between Vasudev Krishna and Nandanandana Krishna. Two difference, two different forms. Same Krishna but appear differently. Actually, as we will come to understand in the subsequent chapters, you know, commentaries, that when Krishna appear, he actually appears simultaneously in Mathura and also in Vrindavan. When Mother Yashoda gave birth, she gave birth to twins. Twins, not one. Not. She gave birth to a boy and a girl. So when Vasudev brought Krishna, after Krishna transformed himself into a baby, and then Vasudev brought Krishna to Vrindavan and to the room of Yashoda Maya, but Yashoda, and that baby which was brought from that transformed form of Krishna from Mathura merged with the baby which has just been born to Mother Yashoda. So it's, you know, this has been explained nicely by the Acharya, and also in the subsequent text also Srila Prabhupada also made the same similar comments, that when we say that Krishna is the son of Devaki, is actually referring to Mother Yashoda, because Mother Yashoda has two names. One name is Yashoda, another name is Devaki. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he commented on that in the subsequent text that we're going to be reading. So here, Vasudev is explaining here that my Lord, you can see here he's addressing that my Lord, it's Your Lordship, Saturn, that my Lord, you know, this seen the Lord as because the Lord had come, he has come as is, and he wanted to give pleasure to his devotees, and also his devotees also to give him pleasure. But sometimes his devotees who are in the ash fire above, you know, this form of opulence. So they see him as God, and they always offering prayer unto the Lord. But this is not really fully satisfactory to the Lord Himself when the devotees offer prayers unto Him. Whereas Vrindavan is different. Vrindavan devotees do not pray to Krishna. They don't pray to Him. Because they see Him as their friend, their lovers, their child, and. And there's equality. They even sometimes they see themselves even as being superior to Krishna. Sometimes they see themselves even as being superior to Him. This is a special quality, the special bhav that is there in the Braj Bhakti versus Bhakti, which is from outside of Vrindavan. So Vasudev says, "Satvam tilokasitaye samayaya," that your form is transcendental to the three material modes. Yet, for the maintenance of the three worlds, you assume three different colors. Sukla, Rakta, and Krishna. Krishna means black. Sukla means white. And Rakta means... Rakta is red. So, figuratively speaking here, it mentions that the Lord appear in his Vishnu form, you know, in terms of whiteness, but Vishnu is not white, Vishnu is black. Actually, all forms of Godhead, they are blackish, they're not white. You know, all the forms. You will never... all the three, even Lord Ramachandra sometimes is sometimes misconceived as being the whitest in complexion. No, Lord Ramachandra is blackish. All the original forms of the Lord, they are blackish. Except Balaram. Only Balaram is whitish, white complexion, but all the other forms, they are Ramachandra is blackish, yeah. No, it's blackish. It's not green. I don't know how that painting comes about, but it's not greenish. It's blackish. It's black. It's there in all the scripture, Puranas and Ramayana. It's there. Its complexion is described as being blackish. And also, many personalities, you know, they are blackish. Vyasadeva is blackish. Arjun is blackish. Draupadi is blackish. Bhishma Devi is blackish. So many great personalities, they are blackish in complexion. And of course, it's a transcendental black, not like this black, but rib, you know. So when we say Krishna is blackish, means that we cannot even conceive that kind of beauty. You know, Draupadi is so beautiful that all the kings, they were all after her. She's blackish in complexion, but it's so attractive that the whole battle of Kurukshetra was fought because of Draupadi, because of the loss of men. Because of her, the whole battle of Kurukshetra was fought. Millions and millions of people were killed because of Draupadi, because of insults to Draupadi, because of her beauty, you know. So when according to Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that we should not misunderstand the figurative speaking of these three words, like being white, being red, or being Krishna, or being black, because Lord Vishnu is not white, is blackish. And also, some comparison also made there, that so many demons, they are whitish in complexion, like Bakasura. So many demons, they have white in complexion. So, but does that mean that they are in the mode of goodness? They are in the deepest ignorance, because only demons are in ignorance. The demons, one has to be in ignorance to become a demoniac person. You know, someone who is devoid of knowledge, someone who is devoid of the understanding of the Supreme Lord, so he becomes demoniac. So that is due to the deepest ignorance. Like Srila Prabhupada quoted the verse from the Gita, that Ham Dushatan Kluram Samsarishunaradaman Kipami Ajasham Ashibam Asurishweva Yonishu, that those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. So the demons are in the deepest mode, tamagun, but sometimes they have a white complexion sometimes. So which means these different colors does not really indicate the status of men, of personalities. So whereas when the scriptures say whiteness, this is referring to the quality, the sattagun. So like Lord Vishnu is described as being the whiteness because it's situated in the Vishuddha Sattva, which means in the purified goodness, which has no touch of ignorance or passion. It's total Vishuddha Sattva. So, which means this color is regarded that way. And sometimes here, just like here in India, for instance, it's generally understood that if someone is, let's say, you know, white colors or whatever, it's known as Brahmana. Brahmanas being white, and Kshatriyas being of mixed complexion, golden basically, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, their color is kind of reddish color, because they are in the passion, the Vaishyas, and then the Sudras, they are blackish, they are, you know, this is the commonly referred to here, especially here in India. But this is just artificial. It's not the reality. As we have explained, that the color that one have does not really indicate one's particular status of life. Because many, many great personalities, they have different colors. Whereas the demonic person, they can have white color, but that does not put them being of Satagun, being the mode of goodness. So this is what some of the explanation that's been given and some of the difference that one should understand. So that's why Prabhupada said that in this verse, the three colors mentioned, Shukla, Rakta, Krishna, are not to be understood literally in terms of what we experience with our senses, but rather as representatives of Satagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. So now, when the Lord decided to create the universe, so he assumed three different forms. His form was Vishnu, which is to maintain, as maintenance. But again, his representation as Brahma, who's responsible for creation. But Lord Brahma is a secondary creator, he's not the primary creator, because the ingredient is supplied by the Lord. So the Lord is the primary creator, because from his body, his form of Mahavishnu, all the universes they are coming out from the pore of his skin. And then Lord Brahma is come out from the stomach of Narayan or Vishnu. And then he was given the charge of creation. So Brahmaji, he's the secondary creator. He's not the original creator. Because being original creator means that he will have to be... he will have to supply all the ingredients. No, he did not originate ingredients. He was simply given. Just like this temple was, manifested by Srila Prabhupada. So by his desire, we have Krishna Balaram temple by his desire. Even though we have architects, engineers, the masons who are responsible for building the temple, but without proper desires, we will not have Krishna Balaram temple. That's a fact. So similarly also, without the desire of Vishnu, there'll be no universe. Lord Brahmaji will be powerless without his desire. And now Brahma, of course, he knows that. It's not that he doesn't know that. He knows that, yes, he is just an instrument to assist the Lord in the aspect of creation. So the Lord manifests himself as Brahmaji, and also as Shivaji, to destroy at the end of everything. When everything is normal, when the universe coming to an end, then Lord Shiva comes and do the destruction. So that's why he mentioned here, he says, Swamaya, that by your own potency, by your own energy, all these manifestations are manifested in terms of creation, maintenance, and dissolution. It's mentioned here that, Lord Brahma apparently is overcome by Rajagun, because he's in charge of the mode of passion. Because without being passionate, there cannot be manifestation. You have to be, the activity must be, there in order to create something. So the element of passion has to be the Rajagun. And then for destruction, anger must be there, because we destroy something because due to anger. So Lord Shiva, when the time comes, the time comes for dissolution of the universe, so he had to manifest this quality of anger, which is a representation of ignorance. And then from there, through his dancing, Tandadva Nitya, then the whole universe is destroyed. But it doesn't mean that Lord Shiva himself is in ignorance. No, he's not. He's in charge of the mode of ignorance. He's in charge of it. Just as Lord Brahma is in charge of the Rajagun. But it doesn't mean that Lord Shiva is in ignorance or, you know, just in charge. So similarly, also Lord Vishnu is actually beyond the bowls of the nature. Even though, yes, it mentioned that Lord Vishnu is in the mode of goodness, it doesn't mean that it's not the material mode of goodness, it's transcendental mode. Is Vishuddha Sattva. So Srila Prabhupada he made a citation to a text which is found in the 10th canto, 88th chapter, text number 5. And this text it reads as follows: Hari inu gunan sakshat purusha prakriti paraha sa sabadrik upadrashta tam bhajan niguna bhavet. Lord Hari, however, has no connection with the material modes. So the Lord has no connection with the material modes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-seeing eternal witness, who is transcendental to material nature. One who worships Him becomes similarly free from the material modes, because you know, being the material world, we are all under the modes of nature, you know, that determines our journey in the material world. But if we worship Lord Vishnu, we worship Lord Krishna, then one becomes free from the modes of nature, and then one can be transferred to the spiritual kingdom. So it's mentioned that Lord Vishnu is situated in his own transcendental position, beyond the material energy. Why, therefore, should his worship bear the fruit of material opulence? So, he said that the real fruit of worshiping Lord Vishnu is transcendental knowledge. Thus, Lord Vishnu's worshiper gains the eye of transcendental knowledge instead of being blinded by material assets. So the Lord, being the detached witness of the material creation, his devotee also becomes aloof from the interactions of the Lord's inferior energies. So the Lord, like the Lord said in the Gita, that my devotees, they are always free from the influence. They are free from the three gunas. They are free from the influence of the material energy. They are always under the shelter of the internal potency. You know, it was Atmamaya, yeah? His own Atmamaya means his own energy. So when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he is under the influence of the Lord's own energy. And this own energy means his spiritual energy, not material energy. So Srila Sridhara Maharaj, Srila Swami, he had quoted some verses from the Vedic scriptures just to elaborate on this point of the Lord being transcendental to all modes of nature. Vashno guna sambalde rupa dwayan yasyate ta dhamma yoga yoga bhyan bimbabhat pratibimbabhat. When the absolute reality associates with the modes of nature, he assumes two different kinds of form in this world, according to whether his spiritual qualities are manifest or not. Thus, he acts just like a reflection and its further secondary reflection. So which means there's a primary and then there's a secondary reflection like that. Because the Lord acts through the agency of Brahman and Shivaji in the act of creation and dissolution. Guna satudaya santa Gora Mulda Swabhavata Vishnu Brahma Shivanam Cha Guna Yatri Surupinam. The modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, whose individual natures are peaceful, violent, and foolish, are personally regulated by Lord Vishnu Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva respectively. So essentially indicating that these three deities, Vishnu, Brahma, and Mahesh, that yes, they are in charge of these three modes of nature, but it doesn't mean that they themselves, they are influenced by it. So Lord Vishnu is never influenced by the modes of goodness. Because yes, the mode of goodness is good. It's you know. Normally people who are in the mode of goodness, they are usually very, very peaceful. They're always very, very happy, nothing disturbing the material world, you know, especially the philosophers and all that. But Lord Vishnu is beyond that. Because if one is captivated by being the mode of goodness, that is also binding in the material world. That one is bound in the material world. But Lord Vishnu is beyond that. It's transcendental to all the modes. It's transcendental to the mode of goodness also. Nati bedo bhavi bedo guna dharma ihamsataha satrasya santyano no jatu Vishnu bhikshepa modate. Lord Vishnu's peaceful mode of goodness does not differ substantially from his original spiritual qualities, although it is only a partial manifestation of them within this world. Thus, Lord Vishnu's mode of goodness is never tainted by agitation in passion or in ignorance. So the Lord is always pure. Rajastamo guna bhyantu bhavetan brahma rudra yo guna pamadato bhuyas tad ansanam cha binnata. By the mode of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, the original spiritual qualities of Lord Brahman and Lord Shiva are obscured. Thus, these spiritual qualities appeared only partially as separated material qualities. So sometimes Lord Shiva is, even he may appear to be tainted by the mode of ignorance by Tamagun, but that doesn't mean that he's in Tamagun. He's never in Tamagun, Lord Shiva. Actually, Lord Shiva is actually, you know, it's as good as God himself. You know, he's actually this. He's the position of Lord Shiva. It cannot be easily understood by materialistic brain, because essentially Lord Shiva is Vishnu himself. But on the other hand, it's not Vishnu. Just like we have yogurt and we have milk. Yogurt is a transformation of milk. You know, essentially, yogurt is milk, but it's also different. Similarly, also, Lord Shiva is Vishnu, but it's also different, you know, because of the transformation that is there. So, Ata Samagra Satoshya Vishnu Moksha Kari Matihi Amsato Bhuti Etus Cha Tatananda Mayishtuta. Therefore, focusing one's consciousness upon Lord Vishnu, the embodiment of all goodness, leads one to liberation. Such God consciousness also generates material success as a byproduct, but its proper nature is pure spiritual ecstasy. So one more text. Ansanta Stratrayena Brahma Rudradi Sebinam Vibhutayo Babantyeva Sanai Mokshopi Anansataha. According to their mode of worship, devotees of Brahma, Rudra, and other demigods obtain the limited success of material opulences. Eventually, they may possibly become qualified for full liberation. So the we have that in the many texts in the Bhagavatam. It illustrates many of these points, which have been cited in the verses which I just read. So conclusion here, I said that Shreyansi Tata Kalu Satwata Tano Ninyam Siu, that of these three, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. So which means that even though that yes, one can worship Brahma, one can worship Shiva, and the for materialistic opulence, obvious. Normally those who worship Brahma, those who worship Vishnu, they do so only for material benefit. But sometimes we find that those worshippers, they sometimes become enlightened by, especially if seeing the quality of Lord Shiva, who himself is completely detached from any form of materialistic affinity, totally detached, and at the same time he gives all kinds of material benefits to his worshippers. So those who are intelligent, even though they may be a devotee of Lord Shiva, and they can see that the person they are worshipping for the materialistic benefit, that he himself is detached from all these things. So they start thinking that maybe there is something much more, much different. So such kind of people, they become candidates for pure bhakti, they become candidates for, you know, for liberation. So sometimes, we've read many times, somebody's worshipping Lord Shiva, or they're worshipping Durga Devi, but eventually their material desires goes away, and then they actually become devotees, start worshipping Lord Krishna. So, this is very, very interesting here, as I said in the beginning, that here Vasudev is praying to Lord Krishna, who is in his forearm form. He was not praying to Lord Krishna because he has come as a child, you know, lying on the ground. No, he's in a full Vishnu form. And then it was after the prayer of Devaki that, my dear Lord, people will make a joke at me if they see you like this, that, you know, being my child, I'm going to be the object of joke. So therefore, please transform yourself into a baby. And then the Lord transformed himself, you know, into a baby. And then from there, then Krishna Lila begins from there. Coming to Vrindavan and so many things. Okay, thank you very much. So if there is a question, comment, you can please make. Hare Krishna. Okay.
People want to worship God as the Supreme Father, and it seems sometimes in scripture it's very complicated. You know, he's white, he's black, and he's Vasudeva Krishna, and he's Vrindavan Krishna. So many complications. Why can't we just keep it real simple?
Yeah.
It seems so complicated.
Yeah, so. So therefore we, you know, Krishna Balaram, you know, very simple, we keep it simple that way, you know, it's, you know, when we get into the philosophical aspects and trying to understand why Krishna, you know, Krishna left Vrindavan and they went to Mathuras and all these things. And then the Acharya said that Krishna never left Vrindavan, he's always in Vrindavan, he's always here, so, you know, in the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami, he had written the Uddhava Sandesh. You know, how he explained that actually Krishna is always here. He never lived in Vrindavan. So, yeah, as you said, you know, we keep it simple, you know. So therefore we fold our acharya as they're giving us. We make it simple for the simple. Then, as I said, difficult for the difficult. Just like if one wants to touch one's nose, it's just simple as you can just touch your nose this way. But if you try to do this way, try to touch your nose, you know, difficult, isn't it? So therefore we are, Srila Prabhupada kindly given us Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Sundar, you know, by their worship, you know, rendering service to them, we'll attain all perfections, you know. Is it? Probably want to say something? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so any other points? Any other question? Okay, yeah.
We see that living entities in general are more passion to be humanized. Mm-hmm. It's possible that we come to that stage to contact with the Lord who is a bit more agreeable, that's sometimes kind of difficult. What is the way that it is really possible?
Yeah, the process of Krishna consciousness is actually beyond the modes of nature, because it's not that we tend to be, even though let's say we are in ignorance or passion, I will try to come to the mode of goodness. The Krishna consciousness is beyond the modes. It's beyond the modes of goodness. And when one practices bhakti, one comes to that Vishuddha Sattva stage. In one of the verses in Bhagavatam, it mentioned that the stage of Krishna consciousness is the stage of Vishuddha Sattva, which means it's transcendental to the Sattva Gun. It's transcendental to that. So the practice of Krishna consciousness by following the footsteps of the acharyas, we follow their footsteps, then ultimately we come to that stage. We do everything we do purely, then we come to that transcendental mode of goodness. So as just like Prachakuta Prabhu was asking, the saying that we make things difficult. Well, we just accept simplicity. Sudhakita Prabhu wrote one book that what's the difficulty? There's one book very nice. It's called What is the Difficulty? And I was just listening to one lecture some days ago. Srila Prabhupada was lecturing on the Chaitanya-Charitamrita, and Srila Prabhupada kept repeating this thing, that what is the difficulty? Srila Prabhupada kept saying that, what is the difficulty? Because we have been given Krishna consciousness, the part of Krishna consciousness, but somehow we make things difficult by not accepting what the acharyas have given us. We make things difficult. So therefore, it's difficult to attain success. But if we just simply follow the way they have been giving us, we don't try to speculate, we don't try to think maybe this is better or that is better, we just accept their path, their ways, then where's the difficulty? Things become easy to do. So Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and difficult for the difficult. So that's the way to say it. Okay? Anyway, thank you very much, time for Prashad. Gantrasma Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopi Manande, Hare Krishna.